News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 13th of November, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff we can use. We're going to talk about Sony promising to stop putting spyware on your system. Gartner tells us not to jump into Vista, and hey, AOL's for sale. Let's take up a collection. But first...
AOL.
There's a new law in the books that every internet service provider and most voice over IP providers, that's where you get, internet service providers are the people who give you the internet, yep. Like, you know, any whoever you connect through. Yep. Voice over IP is phone calls over the internet, where you can make long distance calls for free and all that stuff. They're saying that internet service providers and voice over IP providers must provide a backdoor into their systems by spring 2007 that will allow law enforcement to eavesdrop on any communication or conversation. Now, does this backdoor idea make sense? I mean, how safe can this possibly be? Once a backdoor is there, somebody's going to find out about it, and everybody will have it to get into.
I was going to say, they're just opening the door for hackers
exactly.
to exploit, because if they think they can, you know, do it securely... Forget it.
It's just not possible. Once somebody knows the secret, everybody's going to know the secret. Even if you don't know the secret, the fact that you know that back door is there, you're going to be looking for it and searching for it and pounding at it, and eventually somebody will get in. I think it's a very, very, very bad idea.
We talked about this a little bit years ago when phone systems first started going digital from the old analog rotary switches, when the major phone companies and even some of the minor ones started putting in digital phone switches.
Right.
The same sort of law got passed that they had to allow a back door for telephones to be tapped in order for law enforcement, you know, with the proper warrant, to be able to tap into it. So we haven't heard of any abuses of that power yet.
Yeah, like
so that's the danger. Yeah, once you allow something to be happen, it's possible
about
for anyone.
Pandora's box.
Yeah,
yeah, it's terrible. I don't know. It's just a huge hole, and I'm not impressed. Give us a call and let us know what you think of that. We can be reached at any time. If you're in the 585 area code, it's 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 800-295-1180. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's simply star 1180. And that's a free call as well. We do have a caller on the line. Our first caller is Ed from Fairport. Welcome, Ed. What's your question? Ed, are you there? Hello, Ed. We have no Ed. Ed is gone. Okay, Ed, that's your business. You don't have to talk to us.
Well, it's still a new it's a new studio. We may be having trouble.
Yeah. Put Ed on.
With all
Ed,
the buttons.
You there?
Ed, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, excellent. Are. What's your question, Ed?
I got a notebook, and when I boot up, I get a black screen right before I get the little icons you would log in with. In safe mode, though, everything seems fine. I check virus protection. That's up to date, AdAware. And, you know, safe mode runs fine.
What version of Windows are you running?
It's XP.
What it could be, the easiest thing to check is it could be a video driver problem.
Okay.
Yeah, in safe mode, you're running in a generic 640 by 480 mode.
Say that question. Say your problem again.
Yeah, when I first boot up.
Dave was having a senior moment. You have to repeat and speak slowly and in very short syllable sentences.
No. It's not that bad. Yeah. It's getting there.
Yeah. So
go ahead. Say it again one more time, Ed.
Yeah. When I boot up, right before I, you know, when you first boot up, you get the icons you click on to log in with.
Yeah.
Right before that, it goes to a black screen and just stays that way in normal mode. If I go up in safe mode, it runs fine. And the screen resolution, by the way, you know, that looks the same. Everything looks the same. I've you know, checked virus protection and AdAware, and they don't find anything. Just looking for ideas.
Now, if you click on one of the other identities, does that go on okay?
No. It, Oh, you mean in normal mode? No, I never get to the point of seeing an icon. It's just a black screen.
Right, where it would normally, you get that little, Windows is booting, you get the little Cylon thing back and forth, and then it just goes away and becomes black.
Have you added anything new lately?
That's right. No, nothing.
I'm thinking it's a video problem.
Yeah, might be a video
problem. I'm thinking
driver.
It's a video problem. When you're in safe mode, you are running your video card at the lowest possible resolution.
Okay.
Now, it's conceivable that someone who uses that machine accidentally changed the resolution or the video card itself.
Okay.
Or it could be that the video card has gone bad.
They could have changed it to an unsupported resolution.
Right.
Or something, okay. Or one of the drivers is conflicting.
Right.
Okay.
So when you go into safe mode, right-click on the background.
Yep.
And select properties.
Okay. And settings, probably.
Right. And yep. Go to the settings and set the resolution. Make sure you've got the right card set.
Okay.
And then set the resolution to something like 800 by 600. Let that run.
Okay.
If that boots up, then from that screen, right from regular Windows, you can then change to a higher resolution and a higher resolution until you can't see anything, and then let it...
Well, check your computer's manual to see what the native resolution is.
Well, that's true.
Don't go any higher than
but
that.
But if he, you know, just goes ahead and deletes it in safe mode and then reboots, it should find it and see if it'll find it there.
Right. Okie doke.
He's gone.
Something to try.
Okay, excellent. Before we go on to our next call, I have to mention... two important things. The first important thing is the new look
to our website,
to the Soundbites website.
I like it.
You have to speak into the microphone.
Why?
You don't have to. In fact, there are those of us who would prefer you didn't. Maybe that should have been the week's poll. Should Dave speak into the mic or not? But at any rate, we've
the old mics, we didn't have to worry about that. I could talk to the side.
Yeah, they had greater pickup.
No, yeah. Well, you have to worry about it now.
Can you hear it when I talk to the side, Rob?
Rob can't hear us at all.
He can't hear us at all.
Rob's in another room now.
I'm sorry you folks don't have video here. Dave says, can you hear me when I talk to the side? And Rob looks up and goes, what?
Well, here's the deal. You know, we have these new fancy state-of-the-art studios, and this is my first week using them, so things are a little out of control, but we're doing all right. But no, I cannot hear you. You have to talk directly into the microphone.
See, I told you.
I never had to before.
Well, you have to now.
I'm going down the old studio and get my old mic back.
Uh-huh.
Okay, go on. Yeah, because it's still just sitting there waiting for you.
Yep.
Yeah,
the
that's what they
sitting
did.
There waiting for me, too.
Yeah,
it's so
it
weird
is.
Not being in the same room with you guys.
It's so good for us. Weird, you said.
I said
it's
weird
for
yeah,
us,
you're,
too.
You're so funny.
It's weird for us, too. Yeah. The way we're set up in the new studio, I explained this last week. We're in a brand new studio.
Yeah. Well, the webcam
we're
is
in the
running.
Room. Yeah, you can see
it's,
us.
It's a little crooked at
running.
The moment. I got to go straighten it out next break.
It's the Batman Batcam. We're in the room with the jacuzzi and the
hot tub
and all
refrige.
That stuff and
I'm in here with the sink and the
he's got a shovel coal in between. We're not sure why, but that's one of the rules that he has.
Right.
And it's you know, it's a tough room for him, but it's good for us, and that's really what counts, isn't it? At any rate, we've made a change not just to the studio, but to the website. There's a new look to our website. It's soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. We've redone the website. This is actually, I'm stealing this look from Gabe Shepard is helping me recreate, helping me, he's doing all the work, is recreating the Ask Nick website, and it's going to look something like this as well. Across the top are a half a dozen tabs, and those are the six main things that people want to be able to do on the site. From there, anything else you might want to do, if you go, for example, into links and click on something, if you're still on our site, you'll get a page. Like, for example, if you go to the Moody Blues Secretly Recorded Calls, you'll go to our page and you can come right back to links by clicking on the link. And I want you to tell me what you think of the new site. That's what this week's poll is about. I'll be very interested in seeing what you think. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Neil on the line. And when we come back, Dave will delve deep into the mysteries of rewritable CDs. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites.
You know, this still sounds funny hearing him say that. It sounds like he's in another building.
I am in another building. Actually, the best part of this new studio is that I can look right down on Euclid Street and see stabbings,
bricks,
drug deals.
We were talking about this last week. Out this window, I can see a brick building, a concrete building, and a brick building.
And an empty parking lot.
It's actually very nice to actually have a view in a window.
Yeah, it really is. I really like it.
Right, because, you know, you got the light coming in a little bit more and things like that. So it's actually very nice. It's, you know, it's not too bad. It's just,
We'll see how cold these windows are when the snow starts coming.
That's it. Right. It's going to be very interesting. But anyway.
No, it's a beautiful new studio, and we're really very, very pleased to be here. Before we go back to the phones, Dave, we get a lot of requests about rewritable CDs. They're a great idea, but how do you actually rewrite
them?
You know,
I mean, a lot of folks, well, first let's explain. There's two different types. There's CDRs and CARWs. I've even had some confusion where somebody said, well, I tried erasing it and it just won't erase. I says, you sure it's a CDRW? Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Turns out it was a CDR. And not a CDRW. It'll say right on the CD that it's a CDRW. What the RW stands for is rewritable. Now, given that, like any, just like on a CDR, once it's full, it's full. If you want to add more stuff to it or, you know, put new stuff on it and get rid of the old stuff, just like your old floppies, you had to erase the floppies. Well, you've got to take the time and erase the stuff that's on the CDRW. And within most of the programs, whether it's Easy Creator, Neuro Tools, or any of those, they have a utility that you can select it and take the slow burn erase. I mean, there's a quick one, and I've had some problems, you know, that working always reliably, rewriting it and registering that it's a usable CD again. Quite often, if you do the quick one, you put it in, and it'll spit it back out and says, sorry, I need a blank formatted CD. Well, take the time. It takes a few minutes longer. You know, do it during, whether you're going for coffee or whatever, you know, go for dinner or lunch. Set it to erase and let it do the slow erase, and it will then get it ready to reburn new information. Now, supposedly, CDRWs are good for up to 500 erases and rewrites. Where they got that, you know, determination, who knows? It's all speculation as it is anyways, because no one's really done it that many times yet. But take the time, erase it, and then you can refill it with new information. Now, remember, though, once you erase it, all the information that was on there is gone. So if you have some particular photos that you still want to keep that you moved over to there, copy them back first to a temporary directory on your hard drive, format it, and then you can move those back and then any additional ones that you wanted to create, you know, move on. I've had some folks fill a CD with, because they didn't know what they were doing, same folders. So it filled up the CD and they wanted to add more. But they had this one folder on there six times, so, you know.
Now, we talked a little bit about this at the CIDR meeting last week in terms of backup. A lot of people back up to CD and CDRW. And one of the things that came up, and Dave's got it at the end of his tip here, is that the CDRs are so much cheaper even than CDRWs. It's almost not worth the extra time and aggravation of needing to erase an RW, just use another R. The advantage there is that you can keep your collection of R discs as a historical archive, what I did here, what I did here, and then we don't have to worry about putting any more garbage in the waste stream.
And on an R, you can sit there and keep adding to it as long as you don't close the session.
Until it's full. Although Windows gets a little confused about multiple drive letters.
Yeah, Windows does. But the other thing you have to remember is that with CDRs and CDRWs nowadays, they're so thinly made, they're so cheap, that if you store them on their sides after a couple of years,
they can warp.
They can warp.
The weight of the disk can warp.
The data falls off. That's true. That's why we don't want Dave to talk into his microphone. That's the reason. But yeah, the disks will warp. So you want to store those flat.
Yep.
So that works. But we're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Neil from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Neil. What's your question?
How you doing? And I'm not too computer savvy, but I do listen to your show quite a bit.
Thank you.
I try to learn a little bit. Basically, what's happening is sometimes when I turn on my computer, a light flashes and it says virtual memory too low. I know it's a Pentium 4, and I don't have too much stuff on there at all, mainly just pictures, but it will flash maybe like for 2 days, and I'll go in and try to do a scan disk, and that doesn't work, and then it just seems like all of a sudden, bam, it's off. And
what operating system are you using?
It's, let me see, 2000.
And how much memory do you have?
I couldn't tell you. If you tell me a number, I could probably tell you.
64 mag, 128 mag.
256.
Okay, here's the deal.
Yeah, if we back up a couple of steps, virtual memory is what your computer uses when it runs out of real memory. You should always have real memory. Virtual memory is basically bad to use. So it sounds like he doesn't have enough real memory in his system, and he may not have enough disk space free on his C drive to make up for the fact that there's not enough real memory left.
Right. So really what you have to do, Neil, at this point is have somebody check it and make sure you have enough real memory.
Well, he can quick go check that. If he goes into the control panel, clicks on system, it'll tell him how much memory is on that machine. Down at the bottom in that little window, it'll say how much virtual memory you have, and it should be at least 256 or more.
When we come back from the break, we'll talk about the upcoming sale of AOL, America Online, and what it may mean for all of you AOLers out there. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
You have good feet.
On News Radio 1180 WHAM, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I've got your mic on finally, Nick. Why don't you try that one more time?
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco. See, I'm waiting for the little light to go on, and you're looking at me like I'm the idiot. If there's one thing I know, if the light's not on, don't bother talking.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, anyway.
And the light's still on for your news person, too, by the way. Just so you know.
You sit in there and talk about
helping.
Computers,
I'm just
sitting here.
We got an eye. You can see.
It looks like the bridge of the Enterprise in there. He's got monitors everywhere, buttons for days.
One, two, three, four computer monitors. There's phones. There's TVs.
There's radar.
Where's the radar? I didn't even see the radar.
There's the radar.
Anyway, all right.
It's everywhere. It's amazing.
You guys have
in there.
Full calls, so you know.
Plus, he's got a shovel of coal, and it's just it's terrible in there.
Is there coffee ready yet?
Yeah, and hurry up with that, will you, for heaven's sake?
Yeah, I'll tell you where you guys can get your
get
coffee.
Get the drink. I'm sure you can.
At the wonderful Flower City Coffee Shop.
Yeah!
We're back to the phones in just a minute. But first, AOL is up for sale. The two bidders are Google and Microsoft. And Microsoft's the current front runner. So what do we think the implications are for this, particularly for all those of our listeners who are indeed AOL users?
Microsoft will buy it, roll it into MSN, and discontinue AOL.
It'll go.
Yeah, I think you're about right. Yeah. I mean, you know, AOL has been a huge rival to MSN, and the reason MSN hasn't really, one of the reasons MSN hasn't gone anywhere is people would rather be on AOL.
Yeah, because Gates just wants to control everything.
Yeah.
He wants to be everything to everybody as far as the internet.
At any rate, for those of you who are AOL users, this may be a story you want to keep a watch on. We'll keep you informed as events break.
Should get interesting.
Well, one of the things that in Microsoft's favor is that AOL actually owns CompuServe, which is really, really big in Europe.
Yes.
So that it's an untapped market for Microsoft.
Yeah.
And online services.
I used to use CompuServe 100 years ago, and it was text only. It was very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool product.
That was unbelievable back in the day. So the green screens or the gold screens, and it had everything was text.
Yep. And it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was great. It was easy. It was fast. It was terrific. Now, before we get back to the phones, we will be back to the phones. We got Mike, and we've got, Chris first.
Oh, I think he's passing out.
Mike and Rich and
he's
Ron.
Rolling his head and eyes.
We'll get to you guys in 1 minute. First, I want to talk about Frapper.
Oh, yes.
Argyle actually set this up for us. If you go to our brand new home page at soundbites.org and click on the links tab, the fourth tab, the fourth choice down is the Soundbites community on Frapper. And that will take you to a web page that lets you see who's logged, who's joined the community. And all it takes to join is to click the add yourself link down on the right there. And if you click the add yourself link, it asks for a name, a
city.
Just a zip code. And some little phrase that you want to put in. And that adds you to the list. It's not 100% accurate. This thing has me living in the parking lot of McQuaid Jesuit High School.
But it's,
and while I've done that in the past, it was a long time ago. I have done that.
We joked about doing this for a long time, about having a map with push pins on it, and this system gives it to us.
Yeah, it's basically Google.
Really cool. Go in, register so where we can see.
Yeah, we'd love to see where everybody
our listeners are coming from.
And particularly those of you who are currently listening via the podcast.
Yep.
Later on in the week, I'm speaking to you in the future.
We might have some problems, though, because it's only a U.S. map.
No, it isn't.
I thought I just...
BOFH is actually listed as being in Budapest.
Well, I was going to say, because we've got some overseas listeners.
Yes, we
know,
do, but it's a
military
world map. It comes up United States, but if you zoom farther out, you get the whole world.
And probably if you rotate
He's
around.
He's got the whole world on his map. He's got... Okay, we're going to go back to the phones now before I... Stop me before I sing again. Who's next? Chris. Chris in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I have a question about memory. I recently opened up my machine and was going to add some memory to it, but got to doing other things. But when I actually took out the 256 megabyte stick or whatever of memory,
yeah,
put it back in, and when I go to start my computer, I don't get that beep, that post-beep. And it's not the long beep where sometimes if you put it in
wrong. You should hear a quick beep when it's done its quick test.
Yeah, I don't get that beep. It starts up, the machine powers up, but I don't get that post test.
You might have turned it off, in the BIOS.
I'd be more concerned that he static zapped the chip or the motherboard.
Yeah, it's really
because he says the machine's booting and working fine.
No,
it's not.
No.
Well, it powers up, but I don't get any video display or anything
all right.
like that.
Now,
so
you
you say it powers up, you mean a light comes on?
Yeah, the light comes on.
But that's all that happens.
Right. So that beep means that it finished the post, what we call a power on self test.
Right. I'm not getting the.
That
right.
means
and
it's not finishing post.
Did you
post,
put it back in the same slot?
Error.
Yes.
Yeah, you've got one of three things. You either don't have it in the same slot. Or you don't have it in tight, and that's the third. The second thing is you don't have it in tight. They're a little tricky to get. You know, you put them in and you slap them up and you lock them down. And the third thing is you may have zapped it.
Okay. Thing of it is, though, if there's no memory in there,
there's usually a no memory chime.
Yeah, right. If there's a chime and it sits there and chimes,
which leads me to the third case that he zapped it.
He zapped it. I think.
I'm sorry.
And if I zapped it, that means...
You go buy new ones.
If you're lucky, you just zap the RAM card and can replace that. If you're unlucky, you zap the motherboard and have to replace that.
Ah, okay.
Good luck.
So that leads us to the underlying tip. Don't muck about inside your computer.
Yeah.
And if you're going to, make sure you wear a grounding strap and ground yourself to the computer chassis.
As I always say, when you are going to work inside your computer... definitely put your, make sure you're naked and you don't have a rug.
Woohoo!
That's the way it should be. You're right. Our next caller is Ron. Ron from Rochester. Ooh, nice new sound effects. Did you just find those in the studio or what is that? Our next caller is Ron from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Yeah, good morning. Just a thought here. Last week I had three computers on and nobody was home and they were running.
Mm-hmm.
And that lightning storm came in last Sunday afternoon. Now, if the power went off a couple of times, or there was a lightning strike somewhere and the computers booted up again, is there any harm to those computers?
Yeah, could be.
I've had three machines come in because they zapped the power supplies.
Well, if the machine is booting up okay, it's probably okay, but there may be something hidden that you don't know yet.
It put some undue stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely would take some of the life out of the machine by shutting off wrong.
What we try to recommend to people is if you have...
UPSs?
You're right. If you have a system that you want to protect, you put it on an uninterruptible power supply. So then if something happens, the battery is what takes the hit, and a battery can take a huge charge without a problem.
Plus, it'll shut the machine down. You can have it shut the machine down if the UPS kicks in.
Right. So that's probably your best bet. Otherwise... unplug everything during a lightning storm. That includes your modem, cable modem, DSL modem, power cords, everything. Unplug everything. We're going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We're going to talk about Triple X ringtones, Triple X video. We'll talk about inappropriate content on cell phones when we come back on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbite.
He still sounds terrible.
Back to the phones in a second. I just want you to know that we know that a lot of you nowadays are finding that when you're out with the family, people's around you, their cell phones ring, and you hear maybe sounds or music that's not particularly appropriate to a family situation, or you see people sitting around looking at videos that are not particularly appropriate. CTIA Wireless, which is one of the big companies out there, has floated some guidelines for the type of content that should be allowed on mobile phones. I don't know that this is necessarily a good idea, but we'll keep you informed of what's going on with that as time goes on. Meanwhile, back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, how are you today?
Peachy, how are you?
Not bad. I have a question. I run spyware, adware, AVG Weekly, and do the tango, and I just got Frontier DSL, and they...
Good for you.
Yeah, and I really like it. It's really nice.
Good.
But now they're offering, or I can download their software, and I'm curious... if I should or I shouldn't, should I just continue to use or should I use...
If you're happy with what you've got, there's no reason not to keep it.
Like the old adage, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Right. The thing is, the stuff that comes from Frontier is exceptionally good. There's no question to that. But it's something new and different, and you have to, you know, spend time making the change and blah, blah, blah. The stuff you have is terrific, or I wouldn't have recommended it on the Tango page. The only thing you didn't mention is a firewall, and you should be definitely running a firewall. Zone Alarm is a good free one.
Yes, I love that one.
But other than that, everything you've talked about is just perfectly fine. And in fact, what you're talking about is what I run myself.
Yep. AVG is fantastic. I know the Commission for the Blind recommends it for a lot of their folks because, one, it's free, and it does a great job.
Yeah, a lot of people just resist change. It's annoying having to learn something new.
Right, and there's no reason. The stuff from... Frontier is phenomenal, but
and
you should definitely...
It's really great that they're advertising the fact that it comes with the security stuff, because people don't know. Although I like AOL's new commercials about the anti-spyware and anti-pop-ups. The guy walking down the street, and, hey, you've just won, and smacks into a wall, and we blocked him for you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. There's no question. Our next caller is Greg on a cell phone. Welcome, Greg. What's your question?
Question is this. I have a daughter at college who called yesterday and in a panic because her USB flash drive wasn't being recognized.
What OS is she running?
What 2000 XP.
Okay, if it's 2000, there could be a problem. If it's XP, it should be fine. The big deal is, for those of you who don't know, a flash drive is one of those little sticks that you can just plug into the back of the computer. It's got memory in it. 128 meg, 256 meg, up to a gig or two, whatever you want it to be. And you can use it when you plug it into an XP machine. It comes up on the desktop just like it's another drive. You can save data to it. The cool part is you can take it off, take it right out of the system, put it in your pocket or hook it to your keychain or wear it around your neck or whatever. And that's the thing that Greg is talking about. There's a couple of problems. Here's one which I've
mine is bigger than yours.
Yeah, it's
how much is it on yours?
I've only got a quarter gig.
512.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. They're comparing thumb drive sizes now. There's just some things that geeks can't stop doing. But basically, the problem is this. If she's been carrying it around without the little cap over the end, it could have gotten either dirty or zapped.
Yep.
We never recommend using the thumb drive as your primary storage device.
It's only
good. In other
words,
if she's carrying data around with it, it better be a copy.
And it's because the thumb drives are only good for a certain number of writes, a few hundred to a few thousand, depending on how much RAM is in them. So they will wear out eventually as well. The first thing she can try is plug it into someone else's computer and see if it works.
Yeah, did she try it on another machine?
I told her to do that. I have not heard the
report. Yeah, if it doesn't, you know, I mean, it could have been a bad USB port on that particular machine.
Yeah.
But just to verify, I would try it on at least one or two more machines, you know, if she goes over to the computer lab.
And in another USB port on the same machine as well.
Yeah, and see if it finds it there. And if it, you know, does, then she's all set. Otherwise, she probably zapped it, and you need to get a new one.
And there are a couple of companies that can do recovery of data off of flash drives. It's not very cheap, but if it is her only copy of her thesis or something,
right now
like that,
I have 512 meg flash drives on sale for $50.
Yeah,
it's a buck a meg.
That's your basic deal there, Greg. Tell her, give those things a try. Otherwise, get a new one and copy onto that. We're going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. An interesting story came over the wires last week. It seems that Google searches, a history of a person's Google searches, are being used as evidence in a murder case. I just thought I had to bring this to you. It's actually very cool. This guy, you remember in Microsoft's antitrust trial, the emails that were part of the deal, and G. Gordon Liddy, the emails that were part of the deal, and all the Watergate stuff. You know, they went back and grabbed the emails. Well, now it's Google searches. They're starting to make an appearance in court. There's a story out there that prosecutors in a North Carolina murder trial actually introduced searches allegedly made on Google from the computer of a guy shortly before his wife's body was discovered floating in a lake. The keywords he was looking for: neck, snap, and break.
That'll do it.
Along with searches related to lake levels, water temperatures, and boat ramps. All righty, then. Our next caller is Steve on a cell phone. Steve, welcome. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I had a quick question. The guys, the family is trying to buy the grandparents the laptop. I'm not thinking this is such a hot idea because, first of all, they're co-locating in Florida and New York. And the second thing is I'm probably going to be the one supporting them.
You're right.
Which is probably the more important consideration for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm having trouble actually talking them out of it, so I was wondering, I had a couple questions here. First is, internet service providers, how hard is it to change that call-up number? I don't want them stuck with long-distance bills unexpectedly.
The easiest thing to do is find a provider that offers locations in both cities.
That's where AOL comes in to play.
Well, even local companies here like Frontier have phone numbers in other cities. And their software is fairly easy for switching dial-up numbers. It's a little trickier with broadband services. There aren't that many aren't that many companies yet that that offer broadband in other areas. Although we have a couple of companies or customers here locally who have summer homes on the lakes. So when they're in Rochester, they have their Rochester broadband, and then they shut that down and move down to the lake and turn it on there, and they can keep their same address. So the local companies are realizing there are going to be people that commute like that.
MSN also has a service where no matter where you go, you can dial in and get connected.
Yeah, the larger national services that have phone numbers in multiple cities.
Right, and it's really just a matter of pulling down a menu choice and saying, I'm in Florida now.
Yeah, or you
can it's set up, which of course you're going to have to do.
Or you could set up just two icons on their desktop, one for dialing when they're in Florida, the other one dialing the number when they're at home in Rochester. So they click one or the other. And then that way, you know, it saves the worry of doing long-distance charges, like you say.
All right. Thanks. Our next caller is Tim on a cell phone. Welcome, Tim. What's your question? Tim, you're pulled over on the side of the road, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, I do have a question about the Norton antivirus 2006 internet security.
Pain in the butt.
It is. And I'll tell you, I've gotten to a point where I'm just so frustrated. I can't operate my system just by being on it for 5 minutes.
Because it blocks everything?
It blocks everything.
Yeah, and trying to get that to say, literally, I wound up this week taking 2005 off a person's machine, and I installed AVG, which was free, Zone Alarm, free, the Adware and SpyBot, all free, and it solved all their problems.
Oh gosh, I'll tell you, I'm probably going to go in that direction.
To find links to all those things, head on over to securitytango.com, and you'll see links for all of those things on that system.
I can, like I say though, he's not alone. My partner Dan and I have seen more machines lately. It's like Norton went off the deep end. It's like they want to take the full control of your machine. And no matter what you say, allow or don't allow, it still says, well, I'm going to do what I think is best. And it blocks everything.
And it's also a problem we've talked about for years, the creeping featureitis. Every program, every new year, has to add more and more features and more overhead onto your computer.
And eventually it gets so complex, somebody screws something up, and the next thing you know, it stops working right.
Yeah. So definitely do that, and I think you'll have a lot less problems, you know, and you'll be a lot happier. And they're, by the way, all free.
Yeah, that's the big thing about the Security Tango. When I put that together, the point was not to just, you know, say you got to keep your system clean. It was also to say you got to keep your system clean and it shouldn't cost you any money.
Well, the other thing, too, though, is, and just because we're recommending them and they're free, all three of us have really checked it out and we know that they're good, reliable. Otherwise, we wouldn't be recommending them.
I run AVG. I run AVG on my machine here, my base system at home, and on my wife's machine. I don't run it on my daughter's machine because she's on a Linux box. So our next call, we have another caller. We have Rich from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Well, currently I have Norton antivirus suite.
And yes.
I'm looking to get rid of it because it doesn't play well with the other software. You can't run it in safe mode and stuff. And I was debating between what you were talking about, AVG, and the new one that they have for Frontier, the Easy Armor.
They're both exceptional. And if you have Frontier, you can download the Easy Armor stuff just as well. They're paying for it for you, and therefore it's the same price.
Yeah.
And it's an exceptionally good set of products. So that's in that particular case, you're really looking kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah.
They're both very
Choose
good
your
products.
Poison.
They're both very good.
Yes.
Okay, the second question is, do I need a separate firewall, or should a router work for me on that?
If you have a router and you've set it up correctly, it is a firewall,
yep.
And therefore it'll do the job without a problem.
But that only blocks incoming connections.
Right.
A firewall on your own computer can block things that sneak in other ways from making an outgoing connection.
Okay, does AC Armor come with a firewall?
You can download Zone. I believe they use Zone Alarm.
Yeah, so that's very good.
Yep.
So yeah, go for that. You're all good to go with that, no question. Well, this segment is over. We're going to take a quick break. We've got news, we've got weather, we've got sports, we've got all the good stuff coming up. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Sony. Sony's bowed to the pressure of the masses, and they've promised to stop putting spyware on your system. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch of other stuff. We'll take more of your calls. We'll do all kinds of interesting things. When we come back, we're going to come back. Believe it or not, we're going to come back with Dave Enright, who's actually going to learn to speak into the microphone. It's going to be a whole new experience for him. It's going to be a joy and a thrill. We're going to come back with Steve Ray, who really didn't get to talk about putting XXX video on his phone. He had a lot of things to say that we don't really want to hear. With Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. On Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Sony, as we reported last week, Sony has put into some of their CDs their digital rights management software. The whole idea was anybody who buys a CD is a thief, And they're going to steal the music. So we have to prevent, we being Sony, have to prevent them from doing
that. Big Brother
watching us. Right. So they have to do that. Well, the digital rights management software worked by hiding files on people's computers. Oh, by the way, this is both on the Mac and the PC, by the way. It worked just the same way on the Mac. So the Mac people no longer can gloat, only the Linux people. I mean,
for right now.
It's interesting that they wrote Mac-specific software for this.
Well, Mac people steal music. They're thieves. They're clearly, you know, them and the PC users are all thieves, and you have to watch out for the doggone people. The problem, and it would hide specific software on your system, and therefore anytime somebody tried to copy one of those files, it would know it and block you. The problem, of course, was that hackers figured that out, figured out how it worked, and they started using the software to hide bad stuff. Sony came out with something that killed their own digital rights management software. And now they're saying they're going to stop putting the software on their CDs. But I have to ask, isn't this just too little too late?
Several lawsuits have already popped up suing them for it.
And well, they should. Thank you very much. Yeah. I think they definitely should. I think that it's a terrible thing that they've done. I understand their need to keep track of their copyright.
Yes.
I make my living out of selling copyrighted stuff that I've written too. And I get that. But there comes a point where you're causing more chaos than you're stopping. And I think it's a very bad idea. I think Sony did something really bad for the industry. I personally don't buy anything from Sony
anymore. Well, they got to choose their battles, and this was one that they shouldn't have taken.
Yeah, no kidding. And the reality is they've now given hackers a heck of a tool out there. Now it just, all it means is the hackers have a better tool. And it means that the antivirus people are going to have to, and the anti-worm people are going to have to start looking at this as a worm now. And it just, it's become a huge mess. I mean, somebody somewhere wasn't thinking. It's that simple. It gets to be that simple. And
the hackers were.
I'm pretty porked off about it. Anyway, we're back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Freda from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Freda. What's your question?
Hi. I just recently took some advice of a very interesting seminar person I went to see by the name of Nick.
Did you fall asleep?
Because I'll guarantee he did.
Because we did, yeah.
Go ahead,
sorry.
I put the Windows XP onto my computer. And now I put the separate users on, like was suggested.
Mm-hmm.
But my usernames do not have access to my internet. And I was wondering how I can resolve that issue.
Well, it certainly makes it safe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I don't really want to change them all to administrator to get them access to the internet.
Right. You shouldn't have to do that.
No, that should be.
It should come up, but what you might have done is actually locked your internet usage just to that one person. If you open up your connection link.
Well, let's back up a stop. How are you connecting to the internet? Is it dial-up or broadband?
Dial-up.
Dial-up.
So the internet dialer has to be accessible to each user?
Right. The internet dialer needs to be accessible to everybody. And what that generally means is if you this goes back to something I mentioned at the seminar, is that if you have installed a piece of software and told it only this user, when you install software under Windows XP, you get two choices. Everybody just bangs through those enter keys.
Yeah, real fast.
Waiting to get to the end. But one of the choices that you make is whether the software you're installing is available only to this user or to all users. And in this particular case, what likely happened is you said this user only. And of course, you have to install things as the administrator.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do is uninstall it, and then reinstall it. And when you do, read each of those screens carefully.
And do it under your account so then everybody else
right.
will
do
get
it. You have to do it as the administrator since that's the only person who can actually install software. So you uninstall the dial-up stuff. It's in the control panel, add, remove programs. Then reinstall it and let it go through and find it. And as it comes up, say, oh, yeah, watch the screens, pay attention to them, read what they say, and one of them will say only this user or all users and say all users. Okay. And that's pretty much all you need to do, and that should take care of the problem. I did a seminar. I have to give a plug. I was at the School of the Arts.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I did a seminar for the School of the Arts last week.
Good turnout?
Yeah, it was nice. It was very nice, very pleasant. My daughter goes to the School of the Arts, and they asked me if I'd come in.
What'd they have you sing? Talk.
I sang My Country 'Tis of Thee and Mary Had a Little Lamb.
No banjo?
I did not bring the banjo because, thank you very much. They would like to thank you folks for kindly dropping in. Sorry. I used to play the banjo. I have arthritis now, and I have carpal tunnel syndrome, so I don't play the banjo so much anymore. That's a public service, ladies and gentlemen. Me not playing the banjo is a public service. I did used to play in public. In fact, I made my living playing the banjo, but I don't anymore. Our next caller is Bill on a cell phone. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
I have a question about backing up Outlook files.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Although I'd like to hear your banjo.
Thank you. Someday I promise. I actually have played the banjo on the radio several times in several cities, but I have not done it here at Wham. And I believe
you never did anyone.
I actually make a nice living not playing the banjo on the radio.
You just have to bring it in sometime.
And anyone that has any of those old recordings, please let us know so we can
post them on the web.
But don't let Nick know so he can squash them. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay, my question is about backing up Outlook files. If I do a save on the .pft .pab files, does that also save the attachments?
Yes and no.
You want the .wab and the .dbx files.
Well, it depends on what version of Outlook he's using, and if it's Outlook or if it's Outlook Express.
I think it's Outlook full version 2003.
All right. What you might prefer to do is to export your entire system.
Settings.
You can say, under File, there's a choice of Export and Import. Obviously, you're going to want to be able to do that at some point as well. But Export is the one we're talking about at the moment. And what you do is you go in and you say, I want to export. And then you get a choice. Do I want to export my mail, my contacts, my calendar? Pick it and go.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been copying over those files that were saved down in the program files directory, but I didn't think I was getting.
Well, but the program files directory may not be where things are, depending on where you are with your system, the way it's set up. It may be in your documents and settings folder,
and it may be in a hidden identities folder,
exactly, or application data folder. So it depends on how it's been set up, and so you really can't necessarily. Trust that. I think your best bet.
And Microsoft has a tool, and I'll post a link in a minute, specifically for backing up Outlook 2003's personal folders.
Right. So check the link that Steve is setting up, and use the export function as well. Both of those together, actually, using both of those regularly should keep you going pretty well. It's an interesting problem nowadays. It used to be 100 years ago that when you wanted to back up something, you knew exactly where it was and exactly what it was. Now, so many things are hidden in the application area, and they're hidden by they're you can't find them, and they're in multiple places. It gets to be nuts. Before we go back to the phones, I want to tell you a little bit about the system where you can link to various things. If you go to the links tab on the new Soundbites website, the new improved, shiny, brand spanking new, squeaky clean Soundbites website, you'll see a links tab. Under the links tab are three important tabs right at the top. Four, actually, important. They're all important.
Yeah.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition, but...
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Your underwear on tight?
And I can't believe I'm spending the next 2 hours with you as well.
I almost wore my Monty Python shirt today.
I told you that when you walked in.
It was a mistake. My daughter, well, we'll talk about that later. But let me finish with the links thing. The first link is about podcasters. There's a feed for you podcasters there. The second one down is the link of sites we mention weekly. If I had the system set up, you could stream the thing live. I can't right at the moment. We're in the new studio and things aren't working quite the way I'd like them to. I promise I'll try to have that finished by next week, fixed by next week.
Wait.
But the show cam is
Wait
up.
Wait a minute. You want to have a life also?
I do. I don't get a choice. I don't get a choice. I have a life, and that life is given to me by my family, and they insist I use it. So, but I'll see if I can have that fixed up by next week. Next on the list, of course, the Soundbites community on Frapper. We've got 17 people so far. The last three, DL, Joe Phillips, and Wally, have joined during the show. I have no idea why I just clicked on that button. But and below that, of course, the Frontier seminars that we've been doing. Please take the survey. Then there's Dave Tips and all the other stuff. But I think we should explain the comment I made earlier that I'm spending the next 2 hours with Steve just to quell the rumors.
Yeah.
Steve is involved in. Thank you so much. There's a science fiction convention going on this weekend down at the Clarion Hotel called Astronomicon. It happens every year. They've got some great guests this year. Spider and Gene Robinson, who are of course the people behind Callahan's Cross Time Saloon, and a bunch of other stuff. And Steve called me up
in a weak moment.
In a weak moment, he caught me at a good time. Nice timing, Steve.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of other people: Bob Eggleston and Robert Weinberg. Oh, he didn't show up. He's sick. Steve Bennett is there, and Roberta Rogow, and a whole bunch of other people. But,
actually, I think Bob Weinberg did show up. I think I saw him.
Oh, did he? It said down here at the bottom that he wasn't going to show up, but he might be there. That would be very cool. I like Robert Weinberg. I like the stuff he edits. Anyway, they're having this thing, and at 2 o'clock, apparently, they're having a symposium or panel or a bunch of people yapping about robots.
Computers in science fiction. And how computers have influenced science fiction, and has science fiction influenced computers?
And apparently, I'll be there with him. Because apparently nobody else would, I was under the bottom of the barrel that he had been scraping to find somebody come on with him, and then he accidentally got hold of me. Apparently dialed the number wrong, and so I'll be joining him at that at 2 o'clock.
Actually, it was going to be Forry Ackerman, our special guest of honor, but he got sick and couldn't come.
Oh, I see. So I'm second to Forry Ackerman. That's not half bad.
You're
actually
getting down there lower.
I can live with that if I were only second or fifth or 25th.
You know, the music is an interesting point too. Action movies all are rock music. The science fiction movies, started by Star Wars, use this great, grand classical music. George Lucas loved this type of music, and it really added to Star Wars.
And most of it is royalty free.
Yeah. All right. So that'll be down at the Clarion Hotel.
I thought we'd put in a little plug for that, explaining why I'm going to be spending the next 2 hours with Steve and my daughter, of course. Oh, Dad, you're going to a geek convention. And I tried to explain to her that every Sunday from 11 to 1, it's a geek convention. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we're not all geeks. Some of us are nerds.
We'll talk a little bit about Microsoft's new operating system, Vista, which should be available sometime this millennium. We'll talk about when you should make the jump after this break with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Holy shimoli, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, and I'd like to thank the people at Wham for not airing what we just talked about during the break this last time. According to the Gartner Group is a think tank. They're paid money to think. And one of the things they think about is when we should upgrade to Vista. Vista is the new operating system from Microsoft. It used to be called Longhorn until people started laughing about it and calling it Long Wait, since it should have been out 5 years ago. And now they've changed the name to Vista. And people are having a tougher time making
it. Wait a minute. Hang on. I was a little bit delayed on that. Long Wait versus Long... Sorry.
Look, if you can't keep up.
Well, no, everything's in a different place now. So you got to allow me a second to find it. You know what I mean?
So if I say, that's asknick.com, it's going to take you a while to find the button? Apparently so, yes!
Well, it's because he's in another room now.
No, I found it now.
It takes longer for the sound to travel.
Yeah, from one room to the other.
I can label them all with colors now.
Oh,
you see
colors.
What I'm saying? Like, it's his little rainbow thing going on.
It's a little rainbow. It's the Rainbow Coalition.
Yeah, yeah. Very nice. I didn't mean to interrupt. Actually, no, I did. But
yes,
anyway.
You did, apparently, because you have to actually push a button to interrupt. It's not like it happened accidentally. Okay, anyway, Vista, according to my... According to the Gartner Group, they say that we shouldn't really jump to Vista until, get this, 2008. The Gartner Group is one
that
of the biggest.
About right.
You always wait for the next service release. You don't buy the first version.
Well, we've always said that. You know, it's not until version 2.0 that Microsoft gets it right. But they're saying you shouldn't rush to upgrade to Microsoft Windows Vista. They believe most of us can safely hold back until 2008. Now, there is a problem with that, of course, which is that a lot of the things that Vista is fixing are security problems. And rather than issue one more security pack, Microsoft's going to actually put out a whole new operating system that you have to pay for.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other story. I'm not even going to go there. But the point is that that's what they're saying. But they are saying, the folks at Gartner, they're a think tank, and they're saying that that we should all kind of not update until 2008. One of the things that they're updating, of course, is Internet Explorer, Swiss cheese everywhere.
Which I don't use.
The new version, theoretically, is going to be much safer, but the reality is... But the reality is...
I got some swampland for you, too.
Right. But the reality is many of us have already switched to Firefox.
Yep.
And if you want that safety, you just switch to Firefox. They're saying that you know there's a better personal firewall in the new Vista. Well, most of us are already using Zone Alarm, so you don't have to switch to that. And they're saying that they're trying to fix the problems in Outlook and Outlook Express. Well, many of us are already using Thunderbird or Eudora, so you don't have to switch for that. So
I think it's going to be interesting to see if Microsoft continues selling XP after Vista comes out.
Yep.
And if they continue to OEM it, so new computers will still come with XP.
Well, the real problem is that you need a much heftier box, particularly in terms of graphics and memory, in order to run Vista. And what they've done, once again, is run ahead of the pack. They're going to recommend, you know, 256 meg as a minimum. And just like they recommended 128 meg as a minimum for XP, that means you can boot the system in that. Not you can run anything in that.
They should be...
See what you get talking,
choked
but he gets
it,
all
yeah.
choked up.
I do, because I mean, that's like me getting on the thruway and doing 35. I'll get to Buffalo.
Yeah, right.
Versus doing 65.
Right. You'll get there, but you're going to pork off everybody around you. Yeah, absolutely
and
true.
Anybody. I mean, it is kind of running slow, and they get any spyware on their machine, and that slows it down already even more than the 128 that did.
Right.
And the minute I add, say, another 512 to that 128, it's like, oh, this runs so much faster.
It feels like a new computer.
Yeah. Oh, it's working great. Well, thank you. All I did was, you know, clean up some of the junk and add more memory.
Well, and I tell
people that's what you can do for Christmas this year. Get a 512 RAM stick for your computer, and it will feel like a new computer.
It's a great idea. RAM is not terribly expensive right at the moment. Is he going to flash, or is he just going to stand there?
I thought maybe he was lost.
Or perhaps he was going to do a mime thing. Do the in-the-box thing. I love the in-the-box thing. Okay, Rob just came up to the window. Normally he's way back. He's like about a mile and a half down the road. He's this tiny little speck in the distance, which is where we like him. I looked up, and there he was right in the window in our faces, life-sized, a life-sized Rob Linton.
Well, no, I'm kind of getting a feel of the new studios, you know what I mean? So I'm just kind of, you know, checking it out. I came right up to the window and, you know.
Scared the heck right out of us is what you did. Cheese and crackers. He does. He's got, like I said, we have this gorgeous space here with the spa and the jacuzzi and all of that stuff in here, and he's pretty much stuck in the little tin box with the coal scuttle
It's
the coal scuttle. You're too young to know.
Yeah,
it's roomier than his old little place used to be. So he's walking around and checking out the corners and
I'm jogging around, taking a few laps in this new room.
Sure,
you know what I mean,
sure. And it's a lovely place for us to hide you. The neat thing is the bad thing, of course, is we can't shut him up. We can't unless we actually unhook the speakers. He can talk to us. Oh, well, we'll get over that at some other point. Before
or we get a drape.
We can get a
curtain.
There
we go, yeah.
Pull it down.
A nice curtain or just some paint.
Remember that I have the buttons.
You've got
So do we, though, now.
No.
Yeah, he can take
no,
us
he
out
can
of
override us. Buttons. No, it doesn't matter how many buttons
we've
got.
Yeah, but
we can
make his life interesting.
He's got the master on-off switch, and that makes him the king. There's no question.
You know, I have a question for you, actually, computer-related. No, I'm serious. What do you think this year is going to be the hottest electronic gift for the holidays? Because, I mean, they're right around the corner.
That's a great question.
No, the reason why I ask is because
who told you to ask it?
Nobody. I came up with it on my own.
Wait a minute. Before we get into that, though.
Unbelievable.
No, it is. It's a great question.
Yeah, no. I want to address that one. But like you said, thinking of the holidays, But I got a call from
it's
a friend last
night. It's not even Thanksgiving
yet. Yeah, it's not even Thanksgiving. And some idiot up off of Empire Boulevard has a Santa turned on.
Well, look, here's
they
the deal.
Should be shot. Hello, you don't
hasn't
turn
Santa,
his only
a couple,
until
there's
after
only a couple of truly American holidays. Well, Thanksgiving is one of them, and I think we shouldn't give it short shrift.
Right. Well, no, here's the deal. I can understand going out and maybe hanging the lights when the weather's nice,
yes.
But don't turn them on.
My lights are actually, we've got those icicles around the porch. Yeah. They're there all year.
I'm
not even going to take them down.
I'm putting mine up today.
No point in it. We just don't turn them on in October.
Well, when I was over at my old house on Roby Drive, I used to put the lights up because I had this like 30-foot blue spruce pine tree.
Blue spruce?
And I'd put over 1,000 of the tiny little lights on it. But I would do that in October.
Right.
It didn't go on until Thanksgiving night.
Right. Same here. We didn't turn ours on until the day after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
It used to be Christmas season began when the day after Thanksgiving, Santa showed up on the Magic Mountain at Midtown.
Yep. You watch the Macy's parade, and then you go shopping.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Not anymore. Now it's sometime in the middle of September. Oh,
I was going to say, Santa's at the mall now.
Yeah, Santa's at the mall now.
And does anybody know if Midtown ever finally got a tree?
They're putting the monorail back up.
The monorail's up, but they were having a problem finding a Christmas tree for a while because they have to find somebody that has one in their front yard,
right?
That was willing to donate it, and the truck can just back right up to the road and load the thing up.
Yeah, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, my aunt donated the tree in her front yard.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
For a number of years, I was one of Santa's helpers at Midtown. That's actually true. And to this day, when I see the monorail going up, my stomach hurts.
Why?
Oh, it was an experience. Someday I'll tell you about it, but not on the air.
Sitting under that monorail.
But to answer your question, though, about
watching it shake above you,
I think iPods are definitely going to be the big thing. I mean, some of the phones now coming out are also offering iTunes.
Yeah, Motorola just released a new phone with the iTunes built in.
The new game consoles.
Yeah, there's been a lot of articles in the press about a PSP versus iPod for video, because the new thing on the latest iPod is that it can play videos. And it's interesting that the PSP, the Sony PSP, is primarily a game computer, but it also does music and videos.
Mm-hmm.
And the iPod is primarily a music player, but it also does videos and contacts. So there's a little bit of overlap between them, but the PSP has a bigger screen. The iPod has more storage, so it's
and the PSP will play full movies.
Well, so the iPod will too. You can buy at a smaller size, but the 30 gig hard drive in the small iPod or the 60 gig in the big one could hold a lot of movies. The PSP, you can only get a 2 gig memory card, so you can't put that much video on it.
But you can buy
the Sony,
like you can buy DVDs, you can buy movies in PSP format.
Sony is it still too early for those things? I mean, seriously.
No.
It's not. They're out. They're ready to go, and they're good.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
Any of those little hardware devices are actually good.
Yeah.
One of the things that I talked about on the show once before, the Zip It, which is it's only $100, and it's an instant messenger. You can carry on 9 separate conversations simultaneously, and it talks to AOL and MSN and Yahoo. It's only $100, and it works over the wireless network. So anywhere you can get wireless, you can use this thing. It's the Zip It Messenger. It's a very cool toy. Those are the kind of things that people are going to find under their trees.
But
you
it's
know
what? Safe.
What we should do is...
because you can't download... Well, I mean, you can still get bad messages,
right.
But you can't get viruses and any of that other stuff.
You know what we should do? All right, Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yes, it is.
Tell you what, why don't all three of us, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, come in with our list of toys that we think we would want for Christmas.
All right, email me and remind me.
Yep, I'll email both of you, and we'll come up with our list.
Because I'm old now. I officially
now
need to be reminded.
Email our wives and make sure they're listening.
Yeah, right, so they'll remind us, right?
No,
right,
no,
right,
so they'll buy what's on our list.
No, I'm talking about different things. You too, as far as neat toys, we can talk about some of those that are coming up.
You know what the hottest thing is going to be this year?
Me.
That goes without saying, certainly. But whatever little world you want to live in is your business.
Thank you.
Just put it up on Frapper. One of the things that you need to know is that probably the hottest thing that for this holiday season is going to be anything with the Soundbites logo from the Soundbites shop. I'm pretty sure that's the hottest Christmas gift there is. T-shirts, hats, messenger bags, mugs, the world-famous Soundbites mug, one of which I have here in front of me. You can see it right on the camera now. It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. Holes keeps hot liquids hot, cold liquids cold. How does it know the difference? And all that stuff, you can get those things right at the Soundbite shop. And I think...
Let me ask you a question. Is there anything that you cannot put the Soundbites logo on?
Nothing I can think of that I couldn't put the Soundbites logo on.
Oh, I'll come up with something.
No, they're on there. No, it's on there.
Like, you've got the Speedo bikini. Yep.
We have a thong. There's going to be the classic
is there
thong,
really a thong
on the website.
And
how have you not seen that
they
there?
Point
why
out
don't
that
you
made
have
in
one?
The USA, too.
Steve was going to model it last week.
And why don't boxer I have
shorts?
One? Huh?
And why don't you have one?
So, you can wear
a
thong or
that
boxer
special
shorts.
Someone, I meant.
No, hang on. I've got it. I'll show you. Hang on.
Yeah.
All right.
I appreciate that. We better go back to the phones before we get into even more trouble. And we're going to talk to Ed from Henrietta. Ed, what's your question?
Hi, guys. I just want to ask you a question, what your opinion was on the, the extended limited warranties that they always try to push on you when you go into one of these sort of super stores to buy a you know, sort of like a CAN program or something that's already there or a total
to me,
desk set. I mean, doesn't the manufacturer have some kind of inherent hardware type of warranty?
Well, there is always a warranty. And to me, whether or not I buy the extended warranty really comes down to two things. How portable is it?
Yeah.
Which means how easily it can be broken. And how important is it that it be running for me every day? So, for example, when I bought my digital camera, I definitely bought the extended warranty. Yeah. When I bought, you know, if I were going to buy a, I wouldn't buy a computer from a superstore, but if I were going to buy a computer from a superstore, probably not, because it's just going to sit in my house. And with those, if they're going to die, they're going to die within the first year.
Yeah, one-year warranty. But
A lot of times there's a difference between the manufacturers often sell an extended warranty and the stores themselves sell a separate warranty.
Yeah, right.
If you buy a national retailer store like Best Buy, Circuit City, they sell their own warranty. You can only get your thing fixed there. If you buy the manufacturer extended warranty, you can get it fixed at any dealer of that item.
And that's an important thing, particularly if at Christmas, for example, you're going to buy a laptop for a student to take to school. Mm-hmm. You absolutely want to make sure that any extended warranty is the manufacturer's warranty because your student's not going to be around you anymore.
You know, one thing I was really porked off about is I got this one warranty.
That whole Christmas coming too early thing.
No.
That's something else. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, in the vein of warranties, I purchased a warranty for this one woodworking piece of equipment that I was using. It's a planer.
Yeah.
So I got the extended warranty thinking, all right, they offered that they were going to come out the next 2 years. I give them a call. They'll come out and do a complete service on it.
Yep.
Well, I had the guy come out the first time. And he just more or less takes a vacuum to it. He puts a couple spritzes on oil on it, runs it up, runs it down, says, you're all set.
Yeah, look at the fine print of what that service entails.
Wait a minute. You didn't even check the blades. And no, that's not covered underneath it. I said, you know what? I regret that I even got it. I can do this. I do it routinely.
I think I sold warranties when I worked at a retail store, and I think the majority of the warranties are a complete and utter joke.
Rip-off.
Yes, they are.
Because there's, like with a computer that I bought recently, sure, you could get an extended warranty, but oh, by the way, you have to pay the $100 shipping charge to send it in.
Yeah.
But you can pay more to have a service tech come to your house.
Well, and oh, by the way, have you ever had anything that was actually covered by the warranty?
Well, that's it.
There's always some reason that it's not covered. I'm sorry, were you actually using it at the time it broke? Well, oh, it's not covered by the warranty.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of that, too, is the retail store extended warranty versus manufacturer warranty. And speaking as an Apple dealer and selling the AppleCare extended warranty, with computers, if anything's going to break, you're going to make back your cost of your warranty with that first repair.
I think it depends on what it is. Like what I noticed when I was selling them is you should get an exact write-up, not what the salesperson tells you. You know, get a write-up on paper what
and
it covers
read it.
And take a minute and read it before you buy it. Because in some cases, like you say, computers, yes, for the most part, they're a good idea. But there's things
if anything breaks, it's going to be... I bought a $50 DVD player, and they asked me if I wanted to spend $30 for the extended warranty.
Right. When you can, you know, spend...
No, thanks. Why don't you just give me a second DVD player, and I'll put it in the closet?
Well, I was going to say, the funny part about it is, it's that cheap stuff that lasts longer a lot of the times. Yeah. And, you know, it's
well,
weird.
When I bought my camera, I asked to see the warranty.
Right.
It took them 10 minutes to find it.
To find the paperwork.
But I waited, and they saw it, and I liked what I saw, and so I bought the warranty.
A good store will have the warranty information either on the counter or ready for you, because they all make commission on warranties. We know that.
Well,
it
turned out to be right on the counter. The salesperson just didn't know that. Yeah.
But the answer is, you know, it's going to depend on the type of device in that you're going to. I've been hearing rumors, though, that Dell has lowered their warranty down to 90 days.
Yeah. Look, if they don't have confidence, really maybe you shouldn't either. Yeah. Anyway, when we come back, we're gonna take a little break now. When we come back, we're gonna talk to Leonard. Leonard is waiting patiently on the line, and we're gonna talk about a huge new vulnerability in one of your favorite media players. When we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Than Chet and the Wire Morning News. We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers, but then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I love that one!
That is cool!
This is Nick Francesco. That was just here.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
How cool is that? I liked it.
It sounds like an African drum beating thing going on at the beginning.
And in the meantime, they dissed us. That's kind of
nice. I was going to say, it just, you know, what goes on during the week around this place? You know what I mean?
Oh, never mind that. What goes on with this? We just breaking, late breaking news.
Thanks to my wife.
We just discovered that they finally started a live stream of the website. It's very exciting. I'm very excited about this.
On Wham. Also, all of Wham's shows are now live on the web.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. But you guys are doing it on your website, soundbites.org. You're working on it. You're archiving it as well.
Yeah, we're archiving it.
We archive it. It's all good. But in the meantime, I want you to all come to the website, soundbites.org, and... join us in what we do. We've got the new look up. I want you to all to pay close attention to the new look. Tell me what you think. That's the poll of the week. How do you feel about the new website? How do you feel about the new look to the website? We'd like you to go to the website and vote. The choices are: I love it, I like it, I'll let you know later, who cares, ew, and of course, the Macintosh. So that, you know, we don't leave some people out. We've got 75 votes so far. So far, like it is on top. We'd love it right below. We'll let you know later right below that. 8 people think ew. 6 people could care less. And 3 people just randomly clicked on the Macintosh like the automatons they are.
We should probably explain a little bit why we changed the web.
Yeah.
That there's so much information that people want to find in the link list and the secret calls and this and that and the other thing, that our front page was just getting to be so big people forgot to scroll down to find the other stuff they were looking for.
Yeah, it was hard to find things, and that's why we made the change. But we'll talk about more of that after we take the call. Our next caller, Leonard, waiting patiently in Niagara Falls. Slowly we turn to Leonard. Welcome, Leonard. What's your question?
Wonderful. How good show today.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a USB 1. Products I'm buying now are asking for USB 2.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just change the card, or do I have to do a program switch too?
It's a card.
Yeah.
It's all hardware.
Yeah.
It's all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, well, if you were to turn off the USB 1 ports in your system, or in fact, just leave them on, and buy a card for your system that's USB 2, then plug that in. If you're running XP, the system will recognize it.
And away you go.
And then the other side of that, your USB 2 devices will automatically step down to USB 1 speeds to work through your existing USB 1 ports. Now, that may be a lot slower. Something like a printer, you probably wouldn't notice because the mechanics of the printer are that much slower. But if you're getting a hard drive or a flash drive or even your digital camera transferring pictures, USB 2 is just that much faster than USB 1.
Yeah,
right. So anyway, let me go back to the website for a minute. When you vote on the website, please vote. Tell us what you think of the look for the new site. As as Steve said. We tried to make things, we tried to organize things a little better, make them a little easier to find stuff and figure things out. It's a, it'll take you a moment to figure out where things are, but once you do, you'll be good. And then once you voted, below that, you'll see a little yellow box where if you click on the Ask Nick website, you can give us your opinion. That will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Thank you. Found that right away that time, didn't you?
Oh.
And you can leave an opinion. We've got 12 people, all of whom seem to be willing to remind me that we forgot the archives. I get it. I left off the link for the archives. Really, no kidding. I get it. When I get home tonight, which is like 50 hours from now after the Geek Fest, then I'll put it back.
You forgot to put a link up to the archives.
No way, did
yeah.
I?
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
By the way, I got to tell you, I didn't get a chance to respond back to your email, but I like the new style, even though I sent you an updated bio for me about 3 years ago now, and it's not up there yet. But, I think the website is really nice. I mean, seriously, it's a beautiful thing.
Send it to me again because
that to me about five times, but that's okay because I resent it.
Send it to me where I can actually get it. Resend it one more time, and eventually I'll get it up, I promise you.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to put your new bio. But we've tried to make the website easier for people to navigate. That's the whole point. That's what this is about. People were just constantly writing to us, I don't know where this is. And we'd say, well, if you scroll down or if you find it under here, it's the,
just making it easier to navigate.
The tough page still is, I have to say, the tough page is still the links page. There's just so many links that we've got. There's not, there comes a point at which, get over it. That's the way it works. Yeah. But the rest of the pages all work. And even if you go to some place like the FAQs, when you get to the FAQs page, The menu is still across the top. You can still link back to the regular thing, and we've kept the same color scheme that we've always had. So please let us know what you think. I'm actually pretty pleased. Gabe came up with a gorgeous look.
I like it.
And we're using it.
It's a lot cleaner, neater.
Yeah, I do too. And then
it's just getting used to moving around a couple tabs, getting used to it, and it'll all click.
Right, and once you're on AskNick.com, look around at the very cool things that I have there, and then join us back on our website. Click on forums, and you can go in and check out the stuff we do in the forums. Yes, you're going to have to click twice to log in. Get over it. But that's the way that works, and I'm very pleased with the look and the way it came out, and it works. Seems to work fine in every browser I've tried it in, and that includes Firefox and Internet Explorer and Conqueror, which is the same engine as in Safari, so it should work in pretty much all the browsers. So let me know what you think. And it's light and fast and easy to download, and it's pretty quick. And it doesn't use Flash. Thank you very much. I'm not a big fan of Flash, but that's what we're talking about. I'm very pleased. It's a pretty cool website.
I love them.
Thank you. We're gonna come back in just a couple of minutes, and when we do, we're gonna talk to Jeff, who's got an Outlook Express question. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbite. We're going to go right to Jeff, who has an Outlook Express question from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You?
Not bad. Actually, I've got a problem I cannot figure out. It might even be part of my McAfee. I'm not sure. I cannot receive anything from Lotus Notes from work or from my college. It will not. It won't get through to with attachments, or I just get a normal thing that you get with a message, but it's blank.
You actually get the messages, but they're blank.
Yes, but if I go into my spam killer, I can read the message, but I still can't get any attachments. And it comes from work and from the college, which are both Lotus Notes or Nomad Notes.
What's happening is your spam killer software is flagging them as spam.
Yeah, setting them too high.
And killing the interior of the message, the body of the message, so that you don't get any viruses. You need to lower it, or you need to tell your antivirus software that anything from that address should be lowered, not that it's 100% okay, but that it should be a lower setting.
for just for those two addresses?
Well, for anything coming from work or anything coming from school, or whichever, you know, anything coming from school or whatever.
Okay.
And that way, what he's talking about is you can set pretty much all kinds of interesting settings in your anti-spamware software. You can say, you know, if the word Viagra is in it, make it 100 points. You know,
yeah.
If the word erectile dysfunction is in it, make it 100 points. And that means anything, you know. And then you can set a threshold and say, well, anything that's 100 points or more is spam, and I want it gone. So it finds those things, and it just immediately kills it. Well, what's happened is somewhere in the settings, something from Lotus Notes or whatever is set high, and then consequently there's the problem. So if you will, if you change that to something a little lower, then you'll be a lot better off. I want to make sure everybody knows there's a huge vulnerability right now in RealPlayer. If you're using RealPlayer, you need to update now. Now. It's really... pretty simple to do. There's actually a button right in RealPlayer. It's a check for update. And the tools menu bar, there's a check for update item. And you just select that and it'll go and check and see that there's an update to RealPlayer. And you absolutely need to use that. For those of you who are fans of Ubuntu Linux, you should know that the next version, Dapper Drake, is being prepped even as we speak and will be available soon, if not shortly. We're done for another week. It was a thrill and a joy talking to each and every one of you here today. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray, the great Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. Steve and I are heading over to Astronomicon for no discernible reason. I hope the rest of you have a really good week. Please let me know what you think of the website. It's at soundbites.org. Again, that's bites with a Y. Francis would like just to remind you. Please vote in the poll and tell me what you think. Then go over to give your opinion on how you really feel about it. And if you have any real suggestions, long, serious suggestions, drop me an email and I'll see what I can do about stopping laughing long enough to play with them. And please join us on Frapper. There's a list in the links section.